right. Good evening. How are we doing tonight? Woo! We're doing good. It's so good to be back with you guys tonight. Thank you for sacrificing your evening to just worship with us. I want to just share a quick scripture with you from Psalm 63. It's starting in verse 2. It says, I have seen you in your sanctuary and gazed upon your power and glory. Your unfailing love is better than life itself. Oh, how I praise you. I will praise you as long as I live, lifting up my hands to you in prayer. That was just on my heart. And I just want us to right now, just at the beginning of this just time, just to hear from God, just to really set our hearts and our affection, all of our attention on our amazing God. Because he's here to meet with us tonight. And when we just tune into him and just open our hearts, you know what? He's going to come in a new way. In a way that we've never experienced him before. So if you guys just want to stand up on your feet, and we're just going to invite him just to meet with us right now. God, we invite you into this place. We thank you that you are a good father, that you love to be with us, that you love to be with your children. So right now, we just turn our affection towards you. We put all of our attention on you, God. You are the reason why we are here. Thank you, Jesus.
There's nothing worth more that will ever come close. Nothing can compare. You're our living hope. Your presence. Tasted and seen of the sweetest of lives, where my heart becomes free and where my shame is undone. It's your presence, Lord. And Holy Spirit, you are welcome. Our hearts long for to be overcome.
Let's pray together. Lord God, for every moment of our lives, for every breathing in, for every breathing out, you are with us. But your presence, Lord, is we get distracted, we get drawn away, we get focused on other things. I pray that as we continue this moment tonight, that your presence would overcome us, overcome our intellectual abilities, overcome our doubts, our skepticisms, our fears, our insecurities. Overcome our emotions, Lord. Our brokenheartedness, our depression, our doubt, our anxiety. Lord, our affections that have drifted from thing to thing, from person to person, from relationship to relationship. Lord, looking for you, God, overcome our affections tonight with your presence. And let us, maybe for the first time, feel you in our hearts in a genuine and in a new way. And in our minds, Lord, bring a peace that passes understanding. Let us know a love that cannot be known. What a miracle, what a gift, what a treasure, what a blessing. Lord, you're welcome here. I believe. Help my unbelief. Lord, you're welcome here. We believe. Help our unbelief. Strengthen our faith that we might see you more clearly. Equip your church tonight, Lord, with a moment in your glory that empowers us to go into the uttermost parts of the earth, proclaiming your goodness. Lifting up your name, and let the fruit of our lips confess you and say that you're good. It's in your holy and great name I pray and believe. Amen. Man, we're in for a great night tonight. God is going to do great things. As I've told you the other night, as Tori so perfectly stated to begin with, I want tonight to be about the expression of our mind's attention and our heart's affection to the glory of God. We'll do all kinds of interesting things tonight. We'll celebrate. We'll declare the goodness of God. We'll share a meal together. We'll spend some time in silence. We'll read God's word, we'll make confessions. And hopefully, all of our senses will come together in one comprehensive expression of how good he is. And we'll be equipped and enabled and empowered to go from this place worshiping. I want to read something together. It's a way that we'll begin this portion of the night. It's kind of a call and response. I'll read the leader part. You read, believe it or not, the people part. Now, no passive reading, no mumble mouth. Say it. All right? You ready? Let's begin. The Lord be with you. The earth is the Lord and all that is in it.
Let the heavens rejoice and the earth be glad.
I was glad when they said to me,
let us go to the house of the Lord.
Praise the Lord.
May the Lord be praised.
Let's pray together. Almighty God, you bring to light things hidden in darkness. And know the shadows of our hearts. Cleanse and renew us by your Spirit, that we may walk in the light and glorify your name through Jesus Christ, the light of the world. Amen. Glory to the Father.
Glory
to the Spirit. Be glorified on this campus. Be glorified in our home. Be glorified on earth. Glory to the Father.
Glory to the
Spirit. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Amen. Doesn't it feel good to confess those things to God? Doesn't it feel good to say them out loud? Yes. Yes, Brother Carl. Brother Carl's a little weird. That might be a little too Amish for some of you guys. I don't know. It's kind of cool, though. I like it. Carl's one of the top 10 nerd names of all time, so you got to dress it up a little bit. Brother, I don't know. We're going to continue doing this. Here's what I want to do. I want you to take a seat. I want you to take a seat. I'm going to do something with you guys tonight as we begin. Just like we did together. I want us to take a minute, though, to declare the goodness of God. Tuesday night, I talked a lot to you about using your mouth to say things about God. Worship being a language that we cultivate. It's a language that doesn't come easy. It's something that you have to learn, just like any language. You become fluent through practice, through repetition, and through opportunity. You know how somebody is learning a foreign language, but they get an opportunity to go and live in a country where the language that they're learning is spoken. And they come back and everybody's like, holy smoke, you are just killing it on the Spanish. You're speaking it like crazy. And they always say, once I was in the culture and around people who were speaking it, I learned it. It just became part of me. Even so deeply, to where I started dreaming in the language. But you have to practice. You have to cultivate it. So here's what I'm going to ask us to do tonight. I'm going to involve you guys. I want to invite you into this experience. Hopefully tonight will be very, very experiential. I'm going to ask you a question. Several questions. But I want us to together declare the goodness of God. So here's how it will work. It'll be safe. But I'll ask you a question, and then I want three or four of you to raise your hand. I'll point to you. And I want you to stand up and say, in a word or a phrase, please be brief. It's just one word, or it's just a two-word phrase. But I want you to say how good God has been to you. And I'll ask you a question, and you respond to it. Are you willing to join me? It's like a lab, you know? You learn the stuff, and then you get to try it out. That's what I want to do with you tonight, though. Here's the first thing. We're declaring the goodness of God. I'll ask the question. I'll give you a second to build up your courage. And then raise your hand. And I want you to say out loud your answer. How has God healed you? It can be in your body. It can be in your spirit. Could have been something from the past. It could have been something from yesterday. But declare the goodness of God by telling me and everybody else in here how God has healed you. Has he? Do you know what you're saying? Yes, ma'am. Thank you. Did you hear what she said? I said, how has God healed you? She said, I was lonely. I take that to mean you're not anymore. How has God healed you? Come on. Thank you for being the first.
Courage.
courage. Oh, that's so good. How has God healed you? Go ahead, hon. Peace of mind. Can you already tell how the atmosphere in the room is beginning to change when the people of God confess the goodness of God? Somebody's hand. Go ahead, babe. Faith. Let me ask you another question. Where did God find you? And where has he brought you to? You can use a few more words if you need to for this one. Where did God find you? And where did he bring you to? Where has he brought you to? Found her in the pit of ugly and reminded her she's beautiful. Where did God find you and where has he brought you to? Thank you, Todd. Found in darkness, brought to the light. Where did God find you and where has he brought you to? Go ahead, brother. Found him on the back line, brought him to the front line. I love that. That's the same story as David. Somebody else. Go ahead, man.
Found me when I was lost and he brought me home.
Found him when he was lost and brought him home. Where did God find you, hon? From the valley to the mountain. Just a couple more on this one. Go ahead. From legalism and rules to freedom. Go ahead, hon. From an orphan to a child. Last one for this one right here. Go ahead, babe. Shattered, but pieced back together. Let me ask you this. How has God comforted you? In your circumstance, in your situation, how has God comforted you? Anyone? Go ahead, man. Comfort in the grief of losing a friend. Joy restored. How has God comforted someone else? Go ahead, hon. From depression and attempted suicide to living a life for Jesus. That's comfort. How has God comforted you? Who else? Go ahead. Freedom and confession. Back there in the back of the room, I can't see your face, but speak. Comfort by reassuring her that she's never alone. One more person for this one. Go ahead, back there. Oh man, that's beautiful. Friends to worship with. Go ahead, man. Yeah. There's nothing more comforting than to know you're not alone, that you're in the company of God Almighty. Now let me ask you this, what are you thankful for? A bunch of you have to be, a lot to be thankful for. Whether you're paying for it or not, you get to go to an expensive college and get a really good education. Her family. Are you thankful for your family? I got the craziest family in this room. I'm thankful for every one of them nuts. I love them. What else are you thankful for? Your life. What about you? The blood of the Lamb? Is that what you said? What are you thankful for? Go ahead, Jake. Thankful for great leaders. Go ahead, babe. Thankful for new beginnings. Who's thankful for a new beginning? Who's thankful that your past, you're not a slave to your past? Someone else, what are you thankful for? Go ahead, man. Yeah. For his unfailing love despite everything we do. Last one. Save the best for last, man. I didn't hear that very clearly, but I trusted it was awesome. Thank you. Did you say truth and grace? Is that right? Hey, I did hear it. Thank you, ears. Thankful for my ears. Let's move to another phase of this. Last night, Heather did a great job. If you were here, you were blessed to get to hear my wife speak. She's really great. And again, she's easy on the eyes. I gotta admit, one of the more impressive aspects of her entire presentation was that she did it on those stilts. It was crazy. She had like these heels on, like about that big. And she talked about the beauty and the power of the Word of God. And here's what I want to do, just for a second. I want 6 or 7 of you to get your Bible. I want you to find your Bible, and I want you to go to a place in your Bible where the Lord has been teaching you. It's that passage of scripture that just keeps coming back to you. It's that thing that you can't get away from. And here's what I want you to do. I want you to find it. I want you to know. I want you to get the address. I want you to get ready to read it. And here's how we're going to do this. We're going to be faithful, as the Bible has instructed us, to publicly read the Word of God. It's just another way we express worship. It's another way we have our lips, our bodies, our minds engaged in an activity that points people to Jesus, that expresses an internal emotion, expresses an internal thought. Now, it's very important. I want to do it this way because I want the Word of God to just do its work all by itself. So for those of you who are willing to read, I ask you to read in this way. Just come up here. You can stand right over here. I'll meet you with the microphone. And here's what I want you to do. I just want you to say, oh no, Jacob's got a mic. Go to Jacob. He will help you. Thank you, Jacob. Come to this mic right here. I just want you to say this. I want you to say the address, in other words, book, chapter, verse. And just read your scripture and go sit back down. You don't have to say anything else. I don't want you to say anything else. Just say where it is and read it. And let's just let the goodness of the Word of God fall on our ears and instruct our hearts. Are there those of you who are willing to come and read right now? You in the back. You, brother. You. Come on, Anna. You, green shirt. You, gray sweatshirt. You, dude in the black shirt. You right beside him. And you. You guys just come up and just, I'll tell you what, again, just say what it is you're reading. And just for a moment, let's see what God might have to say to us through his word.
It is not rude. It is not self-seeking. every way, bearing fruit in every good work, growing in the knowledge of God, being strengthened with all power according to his glorious might, so that you may have great endurance and patience, and joyfully giving thanks to the Father, who has qualified you to share in the inheritance of the saints in the kingdom of light.
Saying back to each other and to him when we confess his word. The Bible is an incredible manual for life. It's also a textbook for worship. This is what to say. This is how to say it. This is the language we speak. And just as the word of the Lord is hidden in our hearts, comes back out of our mouths, just like in Luke's Gospel, chapter 6. From the overflow of the heart, the mouth speaks. The Bible says, from the good things stored up in a man's heart, he speaks. The converse is also true. From the evil things stored up in a man's heart, he speaks. But you don't just accidentally store things up. You accumulate it over time. You get a little bit, and you get a little bit more, and it builds up. It's a discipline, it's a thought. But the word of God pouring out of your mouth, confessing, celebrating, saying something, it's life-giving. You know what else is life-giving? Listening. I do a lot of talking. I talk a lot. When I'm not talking, I usually sing. When I'm not singing, I start talking again. That's easy for me. But I find that when I really hear the Lord, I'm using my ears, my heart, my mind, a lot more, and I'm turning off my mouth. Turning off the radio. My iPod. I'm pulling out my headphones, and I'm saying, God, speak to me. I am listening. So I'm going to do another exercise with you. I'm going to spend some time in silence. Now this is going to be miserable for some of you. It's difficult for me. But for just 3 minutes, as we proceed through this service and these moments together, having confessed the goodness of God, having been thankful to him, having heard his word, we're on our way to celebrating his life, his death, and his resurrection. I want to more clearly and more focused experience. So I don't think that can happen until we just spend a moment, in this case 3 minutes, in silence before the Lord. And here's what I want you to do. I just want you to bow your head and let the last thing that comes out of your mouth for 3 minutes be this. Lord, speak to me, because I am listening. wish you could linger there a little bit longer. For me, it's a good place for my soul. I just want to challenge you this, as you cultivate the language of worship in your life, learn to be quiet before the Lord. That's when he speaks. It's a way in which he speaks. And if there is a character virtue or a thing that our culture makes very difficult to achieve, it's silence. It's being still. The Bible says, in stillness and quietness, you'll find me. Prayer for you, for your life, is that it's marked by moments to where you know the Lord so closely and intimately that there's nothing to say. You just listen as he speaks. Before we take communion together, I want us to have a time of confession. All throughout the Bible, the Old Testament, the New Testament, the presence of God is never shows up without convicting people of their sin. When Moses saw the burning bush, he knew that he was around something holy. When the prophet was in the temple, and the glory of the Lord filled the temple, when the Lord was high lifted up, and it was this big moment, Isaiah says, "Woe is me. I'm a man of unclean lips, and I live among people of unclean lips." And I don't want to. Don't worry, I'm not going to make everyone stand up one at a time and confess their deepest, darkest sins. What I want to do is just for us to enter into a time of guided prayer. So I'm just going to put a few phrases of a prayer upon the screen. I'll just read it. Let it soak into your heart. And then in your own words, get yourself in the mind frame to say, God, I need to confess some things to you. Gracious God, our sins are too heavy to carry, too real to hide, but too deep to undo. Spend a few minutes right where you are, just in your heart and your mind, taking the posture of a person who's guilty and needs to confess. Go to the next part. Forgive what our lips tremble to name, what our hearts can no longer bear, and what has become for us a consuming fire of judgment. Take a few minutes and confess your sin to the Lord. Give it a name. God, I confess the sin of fill in where you're guilty. Pride, lust, envy, greed, gluttony, arrogance, pick your poison. Begin confessing these sins to the Lord. Give them a name, though. Own what you're guilty of and confess it now to the Lord. God, set us free from a past that we cannot change, but open to us a future in which we can be changed. Take a moment where you are. Ask God to help you receive the forgiveness that He died to give you. I'll say that one more time. Ask God to help you receive the forgiveness that He died to give you. Grant us grace to grow more and more in your likeness and image through Jesus Christ, the light of the world. Amen. You are no longer slaves to sin. Do you know what I believe? That so much of our effectiveness and joy in the Christian life is neutralized by the fact that we don't understand that we have been forgiven, can be forgiven, and we are free in Christ and who He says we are. By all means, do not let the grace of Christ go to waste. Receive the forgiveness that He offered you. Rejoice in it and breathe it in for the life-giving truth that it is. It's yours. Amen. Now we're going to celebrate the Eucharist. We're going to have communion. There's a bunch of different words for it. And basically what we're doing is remembering what Jesus has done on our behalf, on the cross, laying down His life as a substitutionary sacrifice for us. What we could not accomplish on our own, He has accomplished on our behalf. And in doing so, made the way, restored the way, for us to have fellowship with God. What sin has broken, what the enemy had tried to ruin, has been restored and redeemed in Jesus. This table, these elements, the bread, the cup, it's a ceremony to remember and to remind what God has done. Two parts of this tonight. First, the way in which I want us to take this, and I'm going to read something over you from 1 Corinthians chapter 11. Paul's talking a lot to the Corinthians in this chapter about worship, about how to do things, how to keep stuff in order. It's pretty interesting. But he talks about the Lord's Supper. And this is a verse that we hear commonly used. I think it's beautiful. And in this moment, I want to read it over you and then explain a little bit more about how I want this to happen. And on the night He was betrayed, Jesus took the bread. And when He had given thanks, He broke it and He said, "This is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me." And in the same way, He also took the cup after saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. When we take part in this beautiful celebration, it's a celebration and a remembrance of what God has done. But you or I, you and I, we're in the in-between. God has accomplished his work in us through Jesus, and we remember him. But at the same time, we look forward with great hope to the day when he keeps his promise to return for us and to return to this earth to make all things new. Paul goes on to say in verse 26, as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes. We remember what he has done, and we look forward until he comes. I'd like to invite the folks who are going to help me serve communion to please come forward now. The way we'll do this is simple. Take a small piece of bread from the loaf, dip it in the cup. The person who gives you the bread, they're going to say something to you. They'll say, the body of Christ broken for you. The person who holds the cup, they'll say, this is the blood of Christ poured out for you. And then I want you to say, before you partake of these elements, take the bread, dip it in the cup, pause a moment and say, I'm proclaiming the Lord's death until he comes. Say it with your mouth. Let it be a confession. I'm proclaiming the Lord's death until he comes. It's a beautiful celebration of remembrance of what he has done for us. And until he comes again, we will proclaim his goodness. We will proclaim the gift of salvation. We have four stations. 1, 2, 3, 4. Go to the one that's closest to you. Let's stand together. I'm going to pray for us. And I want to say this to you as well. After you receive the elements, you may go back to your seat. If you're sick and you want someone to pray for you, me and Heather will be right over there. If you have any need of prayer, you're sick, you need healing, we'll pray for you. I believe there are some other people on the prayer team who can meet us over there as well that will help pray for you. I believe that as we lay hands on one another and pray for each other, it's not hooky spooky, it's just me and you uniting in one, uniting as one, and inviting God into our circumstances. I know you guys need to be prayed for. I don't know if you're sick, but I know you. I know somebody here is sick. I know you might be afraid. I don't know who it is, but I know somebody is. You might need provision. You might need a job. You might need God to move on behalf of the circumstances in your family. It could be a million reasons. But if you want somebody to pray for you, pray with you, hold your hand, and agree together and invite the power of God into your circumstances. After you take the elements, meet me over there and we'll pray. Meet several of us over there and we'll pray. Lord, we do this in remembrance of you. Help us each and every one to set our hearts in the right order so that we do not sin by taking part in this, not being in the right place in our hearts. We do this in remembrance of you. And Lord, we proclaim your death until you come again. Make all things new. and set all things right. In Jesus' name I pray for my hope. Amen. Would you come? Just begin coming, every one of you, wherever you are, please. As you're ready, as you feel. As you take the elements, if you want prayer, somebody to pray with you, pray over you. Meet me over here.
Praise and all of the glory. give you praise and all of the honor. You are God, the one we live for. We give you praise and all of the glory, God. Let's sing this together. We give you praise and all of the honor. You are God, the one we live for. Celebrate what you did for us. We celebrate you, our great King. Sing, behold our King. Behold our King, victorious. A crown of thorns upon his brow, his broken body glorious, his love for sinners pouring out. Oh, King, awesome in power, worthy forever lifted. In wonder, beautiful forever, with scars of love. enthroned in glory high above. His scars proclaiming evermore. Death has been over. Of King Jesus is in this room. Amen. I think that God loves it when his people praise him. In heaven, there's not just one worship band and a white guy with an acoustic guitar.
Thank you. song. It's called Overcome. It's a joyful song. We've done it the past few nights. Let's just declare that Jesus has overcome the world. It's okay to clap. You can do that.
You gave up your throne above. you are.